Okay, welcome everybody. Our speaker this afternoon is Julian Yates, who clawed his way up from tiny Oxford University in the far distant island of Britain all the way to a PhD in English from UCLA in, 1996? 96, and is now Associate Professor of English at University of Delaware, where he teaches medieval Renaissance literature, literary theory, and material culture studies. And he has a vivid and fascinating book called Error, Misuse, Failure, Object Lessons from the English Renaissance that was a finalist for the MLA Best First Book Prize. And he's now working on a project that's tentatively called Renaissance Organics, which he already has received a long-term NEH fellowship, a Francis Bacon Foundation Award, and a Franklin Research Award from the American Philosophical Society. Range is one of the things that he has. He's also always fun to talk with, very interesting to listen to, and I've been eagerly looking forward to the talk today, which is titled, What is Pastoral? Again, More Versions, Professor Julian Yates.
Thank you. I feel like there's a grave before me that I've now died into. The angle doesn't like this cuff went by the angle. Well, thank you very much for inviting me to come and speak to you, Rob. This talk grows out of a question that I was unable to answer at the previous talk, which was, Julian, you must have something to say about pastoral. I, of course, had nothing to say about pastoral, and now you can judge whether I do. My title is Eco-Friendly, but Trades in Echoes. It reprises Paul Alpers's iconic 1996 What is Pastoral? Via the figure of a parenthetical repetition that demands to be reminded one more time, what was pastoral again? My answer, or perhaps simply what follows, will be more versions. An addendum, if you like, to William Empson's 1935 Some Versions of Pastoral. As I'm reading, it might be useful to think of this paper as an act of mutual taxidermy, an attempt to re-inhabit old skins too quickly sloughed and fill them out again in a way that Donna Haraway might say makes a fleshly difference. I'm going to try to model pastoral as what once might have been named a general text, what Alfred Lord Whitehead would call a contexture of prehensions or a knot in motion, an ongoing folding together of places, times, phrases, and things. My job, if you'll forgive the pun, will be to remain within its folds. Okay, this is the soften the audience up joke that's hard to get. Okay, balls, sheep, ha-ha. Okay, you can do it. Horace said something about, delighting the teacher. The last fold will turn out to be a reading of a play by William Shakespeare, but I'm not going to tell you which one quite yet. And this omission on my part may be considered a cause of some modest feeling of suspense. I have an epigraph for you, culled from Donna Haraway's 2003 Companion Species Manifesto, Dogs, People, and Significant Otherness, which I'll make use of a little later. It goes like this. My favorite trope for dog tales, writes Haraway, is metaplasm. Metaplasm, she continues, means a change in a word, for example, adding, omitting, inverting, or transposing its letters, syllables, or sounds. The term is from the Greek metaplasmos, meaning remodeling or remolding. Metaplasm is a generic term for almost any kind of alteration in a word, intentional or unintentional. I use metaplasm, says Haraway, to mean the modeling of dog and human flesh, remolding the codes of life, in the history of companion species relating. Woof. What Haraway likes about metaplasm is the biological taste of the word. Compare and contrast protoplasm, cryptoplasm, neoplasm, germplasm, she suggests, and you'll come to appreciate the cross-cutting or splicing together of flesh and signifier, bodies and words, stories and worlds, in what we have been used to calling societies, in which she calls nature cultures. She finds this trope useful in capturing the various senses of her project, which is to demonstrate how the remodeling of dog and human flesh, remolding the codes of life, produces what she terms companion species relating. What I like about Haraway's tropic turn of mind is the script it suggests for literary and cultural studies. In what follows, I'm going to argue that the translation of ecological modes of description to the humanities necessarily re-territorializes literary critics in literary form, in which different forms are understood as ways of moving, ferrying, or shifting things, persons, animals, concepts, plants, and ideas, between and among different spheres of reference. Literary form, the successive worlds will be made as things travel between genres. Our expertise, then, for me at least, is in the best sense of the word, senses of the words, generic or rhetorical. Implicitly, I'm reading the likes of you and I as functionaries, relay points, check-in desks, box office attendants, and the cultural exogram we call the humanities. And I think it's only by owning our roles and our expertise as purveyors of a pastoral historicism that I think that we can come to terms with the routines we have for making persons and constituting worlds. And so I hope.